Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. It's a Monday edition. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, hope you're doing well. Danny is back from the Lake House in Wisconsin. Danny's a Chicago guy. All Chicago guys have lake homes in Wisconsin. The cool ones do, is what he tells me. Loaded up, ready to talk about the weekend that has been in college football. I know we're waiting for official college football, 19 days, but plenty from Coach Riley this Saturday, and we'll apply that to week three, a pretty vital week three for some guys trying to avoid the dreaded red shirt, some guys trying to make a push for positions. To talk that over, Jacob Padilla of HailVarsity.com will be with us in 15 minutes. We'll get Jacob's thoughts on camp thus far. In hour two, longtime defensive coordinator extraordinaire, legend, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie. You know the drill. Coach Charlie McBride with us a little bit after 5. And then before we say goodbye, owner, publisher of Hail Varsity, the volleyball issue coming out to newsstands shortly. Aaron Babcock going to join us, get his thoughts on camp, get his thoughts on the new issue. Numbers to join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Schilling Bridge, Cork and Tap House lets you do that. So there's a lot to get to with Nebraska and where they're at. But I got to ask you, did you get this day off on the right foot? And what I mean by that is, I mean, you got your kids ready, if you have kids, for school. It was time to wake them up quite a bit earlier than they used to have been woken up. And you did the picture thing, at least our group of friends did. Last day of grade school for junior, and then it's a big old junior high next year. But one more rodeo in elementary, and he had 15 of his buddies lined up at the all the moms had their cameras, and all the moms looked like $1 million. And it's time to take pictures, and I'm talking 15 deep. Not a single one of these snot-nosed little punks, had Nebraska gear on. None of them. I'm trying to think back. I mean, I was an ugly kid, so no one wanted my picture. But point is there, you couldn't go like 3 feet without Nebraska stuff when I was growing up. Or even 10 years ago. I was teaching 10 years ago. Kids had Nebraska stuff on. Or you at least had some sort of college football salute going on. Nope. It's freaking all Kevin Durant. That's my kid. But it's just, it's anything but college football. It has shifted. You might see some baseball stuff, some MLB, but no Nebraska stuff. That kind of blew me away. Coach Riley, some thoughts from him on Saturday, and it was closed to the media, but we got a chance to catch up with Coach Riley afterwards. And this is where I want to start, is with the offense. Phil Savage of the Senior Bowl, you saw his tweet. Coach Riley spent some time talking about him. Phil's going to be with us tomorrow. Get his thoughts on Tanner Lee. Expand on his thoughts with Tanner Lee. But you got the offensive update on Nebraska. Coach Riley, happy to hand that out.
I thought that I'd say overall there was more efficiency. There was some snapshots there, Steve, that looked like a picture of what we want to be. Some good play action, down the field throws, good efficiency on some third down stuff. Made a nice touchdown pass in the red zone. I mean, the efficiency parts, you know, of running the ball was pretty good. The play action off the run was pretty good. Third down efficiency looked good at times.
Okay, so Riley laid that out there, what the offense looked like. He was pretty pleased. Word we're getting is it was a very, very, very good offensive day for Nebraska. It was a good day for Tanner Lee. It was a good day for Patrick O'Brien. It was a good day for Tristan Jebbia. We'll get into Jebbia and this continued push he makes. But you heard the E word from Riley. That's efficiency. And if you're going to really get down to brass tacks with Nebraska football in 2017, it will be about that efficiency. It'll be about the run game efficiency. What second down look like if you run it on first down? What is fourth down look like, or do you have to jack with a fourth down on third and short if you run it? Are you going to be able to get out of your own way and be efficient as an offense? Not going to be perfect by any means, but you'll be able to stay out of your way and kind of stress some defenses. Athlon Sports has their predictions out, and we kind of point to Athlon because they do a lot of pretty cool stuff when it comes to Nebraska. And they go game by game, and they had five of their different riders go game by game. And the biggest question mark with Nebraska, I mean, the defense was mentioned and the big plays being given up, and what can you do in year one with a transitioning defense? What's the run game going to be like? What do you get at quarterback? How great is this kid? You have all of them. And in Nebraska, the common theme here is the perceived coin flip games. Games you can either win or lose. And the difference with Nebraska football right now, as time has marched forward, is the coin flip game isn't just your non-conference stud. It's not just Oregon, or back in the day if you're playing Washington, or back in the day if you're playing UCLA, or back in the day if you're playing USC. Nebraska would always have some monster good conference title contender in their non-conference, and a lot of times it was a West Coast team. It is shifted. It is shifted from, okay, yeah, they could easily go lose to Washington, or UCLA is going to be a pain, or I'm going back, you know, 30 years, or go back 15 years or 10 years. You could talk yourself into, okay, that's a losable game out there at night. But it has shifted from just that non-conference game to now, I mean, some of these folks at Athlon, and they have no proof in front of them, just going with their gut as we speak in August. Northwestern's now a coin flip. Minnesota is now a coin flip. Iowa is now a coin flip. And there's no, and to them, Nebraska has no business winning in Oregon. They're in as big a mess as Nebraska transitionally, probably more so because it's year one. They don't think Wisconsin's achievable. Some do, right? I mean, some will say, okay, of the five riders, a couple of them have Nebraska beating Wisconsin. The one rider that has Nebraska starting 6-0 is like, well, don't high five too soon because you'll end up 9-4. What good's a great start if you have a brutal finish? And to a man with this Athlon predictions when they go game by game, it is a just ugly November. Some have Nebraska losing 3 to close out November. You may beat Northwestern, but you're not winning at Minnesota. You're not winning at Penn State. You're not beating Iowa. I mean, that's what has shifted right now, is the coin flips are the teams that you're supposed to be better than, not just by reputation, but just talent. So Nebraska still has that wall to climb perception-wise. But with this team, I think they're sick and tired of hearing about it. I think they're pretty frustrated, honestly, about being a team that, if you go back over the last 5 years, what's your record against Minnesota? 3-2? You've lost there, you've lost here to them. Your record against Northwestern's 3-2. But you haven't done well in Lincoln. They're a pain in the backside to you. and then you won't get into Wisconsin, how that is. So with Nebraska here, the consistency and the efficiency is going to be just monumental for them. Now, who can give you that efficiency, that consistency? Well, it's Tanner Lee at your quarterback. Is Nebraska in a better spot at quarterback than the rest of the Big Ten? And on paper right now, and if you have a little faith based on talent and what not just Nebraska fans wearing red, drinking red, but national folks that no quarterbacks and no talent, like, it's been corroborated. Nebraska's got a really good quarterback on paper that when it comes to game time should be pretty good. Not everyone in the Big Ten, not many in the Big Ten, quite honestly, can say that if you read the hot reads this morning by Brandon Vogel. The rest of the league's looking for a quarterback except Ohio State and Penn State. But here is Coach Riley on Phil Savage. Phil going to be with us tomorrow. And his reaction to the praise and high, high praise, you know, top-ranked prospect-type praise from Phil Steele. Here's what Riley had to say about that.
Phil knows what he's been doing a long time. Great, great history as a scout and then a general manager in the NFL. We've stayed close friends. Now he's got a great job running the Senior Bowl. So his opinion, you know, he's seen a ton of people. And so that's not a surprising comment to me about Tanner. We're just looking, you know, that stuff is out there like that. We're just looking forward to helping him really be comfortable and use that ability and play. That's what we've got a lot of work to do.
Okay, the word is out. This dude's awesome. He can win stuff for you. Now you got to go kind of harness it. Hone that ability and be good. I don't think Riley's worried about that, though. I mean, that's, man, he's excited as all get out about having guys this level, this high profile, and this gifted physically. I mean, he's a guy that's smiling and licking his chops to work with a big time quarterback, or two big time quarterbacks, or maybe three big time quarterbacks. That's what he just loves about football. He loves coaching and working with the kids, but just truth be told, man, this guy's a quarterback guy, and to be able to work with and maximize a quarterback's ability, it's pretty impressive. That's why he does it. Now, do you temper the hype with Lee? Ask yourself, you're a Nebraska fan, are you sick of hearing about all the Lee accolades? And if you are at this point, because you got 3 weeks till kickoff, I get it. But when's the last time you've had this type of hype for a quarterback? I mean, you knew Crouch was going to be special by his sophomore year. You knew Tommy Frazier was going to be good. You had hype on Frazier. Didn't know about Frosty. Okay? Didn't know about Zach Taylor. You had a lot of hype on Sam Keller. But that faded based on performance. So do you temper the hype on Tanner Lee? I was going to combine the two. The monster quarterback named Patrick O'Brien Lee, right? You put them all together. They're over 6'5", and they got a rocket arm. Can't be stopped. Listen, Tanner Lee, do you temper that hype on Tanner? And Riley doesn't think so.
Coach him and teach him, and we're not all there yet, right? I mean, it's not all perfect. There's evidence, daily evidence, that there's a lot of stuff yet to do. You know, I think the one thing I have noted about Tanner Lee, there's not a bunch of drama with him. I mean, high, low, goofy, crazy, mad, happy. It's kind of like this, and I really like that about him. I mean, nothing much rattles him. I think he understands the process. I think he likes the work, which is, for me, the key. Guy's got talent, likes to work. Give us that every day. That's a beautiful thing.
It is, and he was in a great mood because the weather was tremendous, but the hype is going to be there. Coach it up. Get production out of it. Be that difference maker on offense. We'll have more from Coach Riley as the show progresses. Nick Saban weighs in on school and football on Josh Rosen. Saban was pretty tame for Saban standards. That'll be coming up here this hour. Jacob Padilla shortly of HailVarsity.com. It is week three of camp. Who's going to separate it? Running back? What young pups have a chance to continue to make some noise? Where do they grow and go defensively? And we'll ask that too to Charlie McBride. But efficiency and consistency, I mean, they go together, and you're seeing it continue to get better that way for Nebraska on offense, according to Riley. And you needed that. You had some comments made last Thursday in practice. O'Brien had a better practice on Saturday, from what we're told. Tanner did his thing, and Jebbia continues to wow. It's impressive. I want to tell you about your friends from AgriGold. You might have noticed a different soybean sign in your neighbor's field this year. That's right, AgriGold. Customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct from their farm the AgriGold way. We have expectations for every seed that goes into the ground, and our approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more information, visit your friends at AgriGold.com, 800-262-7333. Danny is in today, back from Chicago. Chris Schmidt at Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity up next. Fall Camp Thoughts, that is on the way, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Less than an hour away, it's Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, legendary defensive coordinator. His thoughts as week three of camp is here. And about an hour and 15 minutes away, owner and publisher of Hail Varsity, Aaron Babcock with us, tremendous writer, and does a great job covering Nebraska football and volleyball. Jacob Padilla is with us. At Jacob Padilla _ is where you find him on Twitter. Jacob, how are you, man? What do you know?
I'm doing well. What you guys?
We're doing all right. Check that dial there for me, Danny. Up there. Yes, there we go. Okay, so Jacob is not actually underwater or on Mars. He's now... Jacob, say, God, it's beautiful out, Chris. We should go to the lake. Let's hear a Mike Riley reenactment. Now, I was.
Can you hear me now?
I got you, and you sound clean and beautiful. You sound wonderful. Talk to me a little bit here about this third week of camp. I know there's some storylines I will ask you about in a bit, but what one are you most excited about here? As you know, Monday will soon turn into Friday or Saturday here, and then it's Arkansas State prep time. So. What one storyline are you most intrigued by?
Well, I guess intrigued, the word I'd go with is the offensive line and at right guard right now.
Okay.
I noticed at the last open practice that Bo Wilson was getting the first team reps ahead of Tanner Farmer in most of the drills and scrimmage work. And that's the first real shakeup that we've seen among the starters on the offensive line. There's been some movement behind those guys, but for the most part, I think we've seen a lot of those first-string guys get the first-string reps, and that's how it's gone. So I'll be interested to see. We're going to have the open practice on Thursday again this week, so the same schedule. So I'll be interested to see who is getting those reps, if that was just a one-week tryout to give Wilson a chance to see what he can do with those guys, or if it's something that they're considering as a move as we head closer to the season starting.
You know, and that's kind of been the goal for Nebraska and Coach Kavanaugh and Riley is have not just five, but get seven. And if you can get 10, you know, good on you. And I think it's been a little bit of a process for Nebraska and the group, because they've not had, historically speaking, an overabundance of depth on the offensive line where they're, what they're used to. And they've walked into and they held on to some recruits, and they've also recruited, you know, these kids that are now redshirt freshmen like Wilson, like Farniok, like Raritan. I mean, three really talented kids that are pretty far along despite their youth. And then you got some older guys. I mean, Farmer was pretty gutsy last year. I thought he played well at guard. I mean, it's not a bad problem to have here if you're Nebraska and Coach Kavanaugh. Can you can you fine tune it down to a situation, Jacob, where you've got your five, but you can also rotate in maybe two or three more guys into a series?
Yeah, I definitely think they're getting closer to that point where they have the guys that they can trust. I don't think we're going to see a lot of rotation because that's just not what Kavanaugh likes to do.
Sure.
But I think Matt Farniak is taking a step forward. I think they're getting closer to where he might be able to play at some point at either tackle spot. Cole Conrad, it would be interesting to see if an injury happens, whether Michael Decker would take over at center and Conrad would slide out, or if they'd go with Farniak. Because you never know with David Neville, the way his career's gone, mm-hmm. where he might end up, how healthy he'll be this season. So I definitely think we're getting closer. Another interesting thing on the offensive line I noticed on Thursday was that Brendan Hymens, the incoming true freshman, is getting some second-string snaps in practice ahead of Christian Gaylord at tackle. So you've got Farniak and Hymens as your tackles with that second unit, which I think is a good sign for the future going forward. Hymens is a guy that Kavanaugh specifically mentioned by name when I asked him about some of the young guys that haven't played yet that are impressing him. And generally, he's just not a guy that likes to single out people, but he came up with Hymens as the one name. So that's a sign for the future if fans are looking for the offensive line moving forward.
Jacob Bedilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Jacob, let's switch it over to the defensive side. We'll get back to the offense here in a minute. But defensively, do you feel pretty good about where the secondary's at, specifically the corners, as they head into week three? That was a question, obviously, with the Jones injury. And then also that cat outside backer spot, do you think there'll be some clarity with that by week's end?
Yeah, those are the big questions facing that defense. I didn't watch as much of the defensive backs this week at practice. I'll probably focus on them on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I did see a lot of linebacker drills, and Diaco was out there working with the outside linebackers on both sides of the group, putting them through some coverage drills. And I don't know yet how comfortable some of those guys are, any of them, Alex Davis, Cedric King, and even Guy Thomas at that spot, how comfortable they are in coverage yet. They didn't look necessarily as fluid as some of the guys that obviously we know are good coverage guys that will be playing on the opposite side, such as Luke Gifford and Marcus Newby. So that's still a work in progress. But you look at those guys, and they're physically impressive players, and I think they'll be able to get somebody at that point that can at least hold down the job. I think it's a question of how they want to use that position. How much is that side going to be rushing versus dropping back into coverage? That we don't know yet because Diaco hasn't shown us the 3-4 defense yet. So that's something that I think we won't really have full clarity on until we get into the season and they kind of unleash the full defense. As for the secondary, I've been impressed with Lamar Jackson as that field side cornerback, just out in drills, going one-on-one with receivers. The real test will be when the game starts and he has to come up and make a tough tackle. That was kind of a big part of what he struggled with during his freshman year, just both in practice and in games, is being physical, coming up and taking down ball carriers. So that's something we won't know yet, but in terms of pure coverage, he's looked good. I think Eric Lee's done fine. You've got DiCaprio Boodle looking to earn some playing time out there, and he obviously has the closing speed that you look for. So I think they're starting to settle in to some things there, but we really won't know until the game starts flying.
The clock is ticking on running back. It'll be a committee effort. If something doesn't separate by the end of this week, that's per Coach Riley. Or maybe someone does step up and claims, I can do it all for you. Keep me on the field all three downs. If you're to circle a guy who emerges, as we talk Monday, who you betting on? And, you know, push comes to shove here. Do you think it goes committee, or do you think a guy can emerge? Where are you at the backfield in that competition?
If I had to pick one guy, even with this missing practice last week, just since the wear and tear issues on his knee, reportedly, but I think Trey Bryant is probably the most complete of the three in terms of the ability to run between the tackles, catch the ball out of the backfield, and protect the passer. I think heading into his sophomore year, we'll see what kind of a jump he's made, but I'd be fine with a committee approach, personally. I'm not as worried about one guy separating himself as a lot of people seem to be, because I think all three of those backs, and even Jalen Bradley throw in there, I don't think he's going to get, if he does play, I think he'll be more of a kick returner, simply because of the other options they have there, and how far or how tough a transition it is playing from high school football in Nebraska to playing Big Ten football. But I think Nebraska has guys there that can make plays so long as they get the blocking. I think Mikhail Wilbon is probably the most talented pure runner with the ball in his hands in terms of making guys miss and making big plays, but he's not a guy that's going to be able to shrug off guys in the backfield like we've seen guys like Amir Abdullah do in the past. He's going to need some blocking so they can get going forward, and I think that's true for all the guys. So I regardless of who is taking the snaps, it's going to come down to the offensive line and giving them enough room to work with and show what they're good at.
Do you think you'll have this combination happen? They're better as a group. They gel better as a group. But also the threat of a consistent passing game could allow more room for the run game. Does the run game get better just because who's at quarterback and what he can maybe do?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't necessarily know if it gets better simply because you're losing the threat of Armstrong, and not only the threat, but the production of Armstrong as a runner, and how teams have to worry about that. But at the same time, I think it'll be different because you do have to worry about quick hitting throws downfield, the quarterback being much more accurate and reading things quickly. A lot of time with Armstrong, he's going to hold the ball, and so you can kind of settle in as a defense and just keep going along with the flow. Whereas with Tanner Lee back there, he's going to make a play quickly. He's going to make a decision if the ball's in his hand. So I think it will definitely help some, but I don't necessarily know if that'll produce an overall different result in terms of making the running game more productive. I just think it'll be a little bit different.
Different, not better. I got you. Jacob Padilla is with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Jacob, I've got about 60 seconds. What are you working on, and what did you work on for the magazine that'll hit newsstands tomorrow?
Yeah, I put in a lot of work for our volleyball preview. We've got a 3,000-word preview plus a Q&A plus an excerpt from Brandon's book with Coach Cook. So you're going to have a hard time finding a more comprehensive volleyball preview than you're going to find in our magazine. So that's kind of what I've been working on lately, and I'm really excited for that to hit newsstands because I think the whole team did a great job.
That is outstanding, and what are you excited most about 20 seconds here with this year's volleyball team?
I'm just excited about kind of the new look. Cook has talked about reinventing the team without the Ralston twins and Justine Wong-Arante. So I'm looking forward to these players stepping up and taking on new goals.
That'll be great. At Jacob Padilla _, follow him, read him at Hail Varsity on Twitter, HailVarsity.com. Jacob will catch up later this week. Thanks again for the time, bud.
Thanks for having me.
There he is, Jacob Padilla with his son, Hail Varsity. Sauter Heyman, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, 100% real diamonds grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? They're still beautiful. They're eco-friendly. They are a little bit less expensive, 10 to 40% less, the pure-grown diamonds for you at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion Lincoln. Out west with your friends in Grand Island can log on today. SauterHeyman.com. School and football, does it go together? See what Saban thinks.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
25 minutes away. It is Black Shirt Charlie, Mr. Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. He'll be with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jacob Padilla with us. Aaron Babcock, 1 hour from now of Hail Varsity. Get caught up with him. And so I told you we will talk more about Coach Riley and the Tristan Jebbia. You want to hear about national hype for Tanner Lee. Well, Jebbia is doing nothing to disappoint when it comes to where Nebraska is depth-wise at quarterback and this true freshman making a push. But here is Nick Saban, and he was asked today about school and football, if they go together. And say this is, you know, Rosen was kind of whining to some from Bleacher Report last week. And if you ask a student-athlete today, tell it like it is. I think the thing that exhausts student-athletes today and of yesteryear is the lack of free time. And either the maturity to balance your time and manage it, or the lack, like a lot of us, when we were 18, 19 years of age, to juggle it all. Then you throw on a position that they're grateful to be in, but they're also, you know, they've earned it. That's being a Division I player. Pick a sport. It's a juggling act. But here is Saban, the first part, his thoughts, school and football.
Look, I look at it the other way. We've had 23, 29, and 22 guys play with their degrees in the last 3 years in their last game playing in Alabama. That means a lot of guys, even though football may be difficult, no one's here saying that it isn't. No one's saying school is not very difficult. Nobody's saying that getting a college education is not very difficult.
Okay. So Saban has some compassion, but this ain't easy. More on Saban, more from Saban. And he focuses here on what getting through it can do for you.
I mean, every day you're making a deposit for your future and your chances for being successful in the future. The difficulty is, and the sacrifice is well worth what it creates for a lot of players. And I'm proud of the fact that we've graduated at a very high rate relative to everybody else, one of the top schools in the country. And that's our goal, is to create value for our players. So it is an opportunity. With the opportunity comes a burden. The burden is not necessarily easy. So I get that. And you do it for your teammates, and you do it for your future and your opportunity to be successful, because you have a goal and an aspiration for what you want to try to accomplish and what you want to do in your life. I think it can make you a better parent. I think it can make you a better employee someday. I think it can make you a better lot of things.
So that was kind of his closing comments. Is there a cut there on lessons? Let's hear that.
But for a lot of those guys, being good football players is what created the opportunity for them to make a tremendous investment in their future by graduating from school. And I think that is a really, really good thing. Is it difficult? Probably. Was it difficult for me? Absolutely. So I don't think it's any more difficult. It's just never been easy. But I do think the reward of it all, the lessons that are learned being a part of a team, the lessons that are learned being a competitor in an environment like this or any, you know, college football program, the work ethic, the perseverance, the ability to overcome adversity, the lessons that you learn in life, I mean, how valuable can those things be?
Saban gets crushed a lot for being this cranky, forever unhappy perfectionist. But he's very sensitive to his athletes. He's very sensitive to the struggle it is for some dudes to get through school and be great at football. So I like hearing him be real. This wasn't propaganda. This wasn't a message to the rest of the SEC. This wasn't a message to his first team defensive line playing Sanford before they play LSU. This was Saban just being real about college football, school, and football, and why you got through it. Because there's going to be a lot of situations in life as you get older, theoretically, that are going to suck, and you can't just like drop that class. You got to take it head on, whether it's family or relationships or whatever the case may be. So thought I'd share that with you. Coming up, a chance for you at Ribfest tickets. Also, an opportunity for Salt Dog tickets for a week from today. With the eclipse going on, the Dogs have a afternoon game during the eclipse. It'll be just magic to be at Haymarket. So we'll give you a chance at a VIP pack later today. And also a chance for you, a six-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. Let's spend a second here with Nebraska here. More thoughts. And one thing that you ask yourself about as you're starting week three, remember, this is a week extended because there's no two-a-days. Cut 14 here. Camp fatigue. Tomorrow we'll get to hear from Diaco and the defense. Right now they're practicing, or they've already practiced. Is it as powerful and energetic as day one or even week one? How's it going for Nebraska? They still locked in.
What we have asked for is, you know, on practice 12 is first day enthusiasm, which is almost impossible. If we could make that real, so the approach to practice every day, you know how guys come out on the first day of camp, the first day of spring ball, and it's then, and then day four, it's like you can't hear anybody. You know, it just disappears. But this team has not showed. I'm really impressed. I really like this team. We have had no drama in our camp. It's been low maintenance. It's been a good picture.
That's a nice painting. Everyone's locked in, ready to go. Big Ten Network Tour is going to hit Lincoln tomorrow. We've been in contact with Uncle Jerry, our dear friend Coach DiNardo. I think he's going to be with us on Wednesday as they'll come in, check out Nebraska tomorrow, and then head out of town. Their tour gets pretty monotonous, I would think. Tom Dienhart, though, also a friend of the show, able to tweet, this is from Iowa Russ on Twitter, that the tour and Iowa has made quite an impression about how physical they are on both lines of scrimmage. That kind of sticks in your head if you're a Nebraska fan. Coach Banker's comments about the old bloodbath of practice. Hey, Iowa's going to do one thing and one thing only, if anything, and that is see how tough a dude you are on the lines of scrimmage. Both lines, you better be able to step up and punch back, and if not, they will take joy in smacking you around and wearing you out. Duly noted, and you don't like to see it happen. But Iowa's lines of scrimmage sound and look for real yet again, per Tom Dienhart, per Jerry DiNardo. If you're Nebraska, you know this. You felt it 40-10 last year. You need to match or exceed it when they come to Lincoln here end of November. More thoughts coming up from Coach Riley. Winding down hour one, Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, producing engineering. Now, Danny, we got to know about this lake house in Wisconsin. How close to Madison are you?
I'm in northern Wisconsin, about Eagle River, so...
Yeah, no clue.
Yeah, I assume you might not know, but...
Been through Madison, Wisconsin once to... God, there was a NAIA basketball championship thing I had to go to. Anywho, interrupted you.
Yeah, so from the northwest suburbs of Chicago, so it's about a six-hour drive for me, depending on how fast I go. You know, if I'm feeling a little risky, maybe I could narrow it down to about 5.5.
But, okay.
So, yeah, around there. And then Madison, I think it's maybe about, like, 3 hours away.
Okay.
I want to guess around there.
Where'd you grow up in Chicago?
Arlington Heights. So it's about a 40-minute drive with the traffic, give or take, for me. But, you know, obviously, coming to school here, I got to say I'm from Chicago because no one's going to know where Arlington Heights
is. It's fine.
So.
All right. Well, cool, man. Is the lake house sweet?
Oh, yeah. Going fishing a lot. Caught some good-sized northern up there.
All right.
My parents went, and my sister as well. And, yeah, we go tubing, skiing, you know, the whole nine yards.
Are you a very athletic water skier? Because some of us growing up, when we would go water skiing, had the training skis on that were tied together.
Right, yeah.
I was a husky kid, so it didn't work out so well when they'd split apart.
Yeah,
we had to do a little maintenance.
Yeah, I, of course, started out with that, but I don't...
Now I don't need them.
Yeah, I don't ski as much anymore. I usually just go tubing, and sometimes I'll go wakeboarding, but I'll usually let my sister do that mostly. I usually just now like to kick it back, drink a couple of brews, mm-hmm. and, you know, go fishing with the old man.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Cerveza of choice up there, is it old style, old Milwaukee, Busch Light, Natty Light? If you're just going to do quantity, not quality.
Ooh, quantity over quality?
I'm more of a quality guy.
Okay,
but.
Yeah. Well, quality, it's Spotted Cow because that's only brewed in Wisconsin.
Okay.
That's really good. I actually brought some back here because you can only get it.
Well, you've been drinking it during the show.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
if
okay.
If you couldn't tell, you know. But no, so yeah, that's for quality. For quantity, you know, I don't know. It's pretty much just anything else you get anywhere. You know, there's nothing specific there that's different for quantity-wise.
All right.
Yeah, I usually try to get the better drinks. So, with
do you have
parents,
the buddy that
so.
Shows up, though, with Schlitz or whatever? That's what he doesn't come empty-handed, but he should have.
Right, yeah. There's always that one guy who will do that, and you're like, you know, I guess alcohol's alcohol at one point or another, but...
Good for him. Well, Daddy, thank you for telling us about the lake home.
Oh, of course.
That's good stuff. Charlie McBride from the lake in northern Michigan will be joining us in about 10 minutes. Let's get you hooked up. A six-month online subscription, yours, to HailVarsity.com. How about the coverage? How about the staff? And you want to be able to check out the ultimate online fan experience. Greg Smith, Brandon Vogel, Derek Peterson, Jacob Padilla. It is awesome. And we want you to check it out on us, a six-month online subscription. The message boards, the inside info, the recruiting analysis, the breaking news. Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, 466-3776. 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, a six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5. Now, Coach McBride next on Hail Varsity.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2, it is Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great to be with you on a Monday, and it is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Coach is excited to spend a few minutes with us. We're excited to catch up with him. And brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find that focus. Emeritus, protecting your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also, protecting your employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. And Emeritus has kept their promises for 130 years and counting, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers. Proud to bring you Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how's your Monday? What do you know?
Good. Doing good. Beautiful out.
Yeah.
So we had some friends leave, so now we're kind of in the sit down in the chair and probably go to sleep early.
Well,
you know, it's like you're trying to move, but you can't pass up having friends come by. So.
No, I bet. So did you get any more painting done since we last talked?
Yeah, absolutely, it's all done.
Okay, well, explain to me this your painting project. What are you doing? Is it shed or is it a portrait?
No, usually it's the windowsills and around the windows. In the wintertime, they take a pretty good beating, and it's hard to keep paint on them 2 years in a row or something. They start to chip, and then you get, and then they start rotting out if you don't get it. So you just keep after it all the time, and you know that's just part of the deal that's happened forever.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you got a fresh coat on it, and it should be good. Fresh is kind of the word for Nebraska when you think of their defense here this season. It's new, right? New scheme,
right.
Some new spots, and a newer staff. Coach Perella's there for a second year, but you have a new corners coach, a new safeties coach. Bray is there, and a new defensive coordinator. Coach, and I wanted to get your thoughts here. What's realistic about the defense kind of being up to speed in year one? To me, that seems like a great, great goal. But with the transition and still figuring out who's going to be really good where, can that be a reality? Can they be as good or better than last year's defense by midway through the year? Or is it going to be a work in progress?
Well, I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the transition to be as quick as possible. And, you know, it's good to have a couple of games at the beginning where, you have a chance to do some things if you do well. Offensively, you know, that can really help the defense out, you know, early, because if they're consistent with some things and move the ball well and things like that, it's a little easier to coach defense because you got sometimes a little more time off the sideline and so on and so forth. Because usually a team's going to put out some formations right off the bat to see what you do and how you adjust and things like that. So you keep that in consideration. But I think when you have a new defense and new players, that I don't know if the players really understand what focus is.
Okay.
You're in a different world when you get out there because it's intense concentration on your job. You know, there's not a whole lot of talking, you know, in between all this mess. You go there and it's all business. And sometimes, you know, it's a real hard thing to actually coach that. And you know, when you got kids fooling around behind you or doing something in practice, that's when my screws come loose.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's got to be something that they have to understand that even if they're off the field, they need to know what the calls are, what the formations are, what they're doing defensively, and so that if they go in, they'll know what's going on.
Charlie McBride is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, touching on the 3-4 scheme. And, Coach, you're right. I mean, it is a whole new deal for them, and they've been working on it. But from what you're hearing, do you gather that there's some excitement about the shift? Not that they loved or hated the 4-3, but you've kind of got this new outlook. You got a new head guy in Diaco, you still got your D-line mm-hmm. coach in Perella, you still got Bray there. Do you think there's some added excitement because it is new?
Well, the one thing you have to understand is that the athletes, you have to be really good athletes to play the 3-4. You have to have some exceptional players, especially at the linebacker position, instinctive and smart and, you know, and kids that are really tough and good leaders. You know, they're usually the guys that, you know, drive the ship in the long run. And so those are you're actually coaching and teaching, you know, all of these things that are important besides the techniques and responsibilities and things like that. So you just don't go on a meeting and start drawing circles on a board or whatever you do. You know, you've got to talk about these things and make them understand that this isn't high school, you know, and, you know, you're stepping up and you're going to prove to yourself and to your team what you're made out of. And concentration and learning quick is important. So a lot of times players don't learn as fast as others. There's different ways of teaching. You know, I always believe there's probably four or five ways kids don't understand maybe on the blackboard or maybe out of the book or whatever. And so you have to find where they best fit in. And I think a lot of them feel comfortable with walkthroughs and things like that, you know, during the week, maybe going out early and doing something. I don't know how their practice goes, but we usually went out a little and it took some meeting time and had some walkthroughs and things like that to just shore up, you know, some of the little details.
Coach, let's spend a couple of minutes on the inside linebackers. You've heard about, we've talked about the nose guard and that outside linebacker spot, but the duties and the job of that inside linebacker position, both of them, what are the differences and similarities between the two of the guys in there? How important are they?
Well, the biggest thing is they have a tremendous responsibility is distinguishing with the play-action pass between the play-action pass and the run itself, and then get to their drops in the correct areas, and they're going to have to read releases on the move. There's quite a few things that have to go through their head in a matter of 2 seconds. I mean, right now, you know, and that's through repetition that you accomplish that. And although there are some guys that you tell them once they do it, perfect all the time. Well, now you don't find perfect, but they know what at least where they're going and things like that. They don't make the mental errors that a lot of times you'll run into. So if one guy makes a mistake, and then it usually is some kind of a breakdown somewhere, and it's not usually not good.
Yeah. Coach, you've got a world championship fight coming to Lincoln this weekend at Pinnacle Bank Arena, a chance to unify the four belts in the welterweight. And you don't have to give me names, but I'm sure there's, in the spirit of fight week, I'm sure there's some fights that stick out to you that happened during training camp. Is there one specifically that you kind of don't forget? I mean, you don't encourage it, but sometimes guys will kind of tee off on each other, won't they?
Well, they get a little owly once in a while at each other, and I don't think the intent is really to. Sometimes you'll get somebody pulling their helmet off and trying to swing it at somebody, and that isn't really a good thing to do. Take your helmet off. That's number one. Tighten it down if it starts. Because usually if you're fighting with a helmet on and all that stuff, you're looking for a broken hand or something. And, you know, but it's good once in a while. It's not a thing you want to see every 5 minutes. But, you know, once in a while it's a good thing. I think it's better that it be between the offense and defense rather than with each other.
Sure.
On the same side, you know, side of the ball. And kids come together that way, believe it or not. I mean, it's always a handshake. It's always, you know, you put your arm around the guy. And in that case, he'll mean more to you then than he did before. And, you know, you're all teammates, and that's how people actually get to know each other better. And there's all kinds of little things that happen when that goes on. And usually the coaches will break it up. The best, Coach Tenneper used to just duck his head and plow into the middle of all of them. And, you know, I'd wait till he threw them out and catch them. So, but you know, as a rule, that if we were fortunate. We had the normal, I guess you'd call it the normal skirmish once in a while, and that was about it. But it does have something to do with the camaraderie of the team, believe it or not.
That's what I was wondering, because your job is to make each other better for Saturday, and sometimes tempers would flare. So Milt would go in and fish out the offenders, and you would then do what? Would they be running stairs?
What really happened was Milt would yell, "It's your turn." then I'd have to plow in there. You know, I tell you what, yeah, sometimes, you know, running steps and things like that. We had guys that we weren't able to talk with the players during the off season, really, and the leadership took over, and I know they used to run young kids. If they weren't working hard in the evening workouts, they'd run them up the steps. But I guess I remember it was when Jason Wilson, defensive tackle, I ran him steps one day in practice, he thought. And I went in, we went in, and the manager came in. I was getting dressed, and he said, should I go out and tell him to stop running yet? Or do you want him to keep running? I forgot him. So, yeah, that did work out real good. But, you know, they said he was walking at the time. He had given up the running part.
Well, Wiltsy went about 3:30, didn't he?
Yeah, Wiltsy was a load, though. But I tell you, he was one of those guys that kind of maybe in practice wasn't going a million miles an hour all the time, but he gets in the game, and I want to promise you, he'd go a million miles an hour. You know, and he was really a good player.
Well, he ended up going to Parcells for quite a few years, I think. I mean, yeah, he was. A couple more minutes. Charlie McBride's with us. Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, a last thought with some of the options Nebraska has when it comes to the young guys. Are you encouraged to hear that maybe there are some freshmen or even redshirt freshmen that could see time? Is that something that kind of freaks you out? Because look, that's a young player, or is that kind of speak to maybe some of the scouting and development Nebraska has been able to use? And I'm talking about a guy like Carlos Davis, who's really had a good camp from all things we're hearing, and maybe making a monster jump that first year to second year.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that younger players and don't know each they don't know all the guys on defense. You know, that's an important thing, I think, as you go through your football, and that all of a sudden, you know, and then the older guys take care of the younger guys. That's how the younger guys get to know the older guys quicker. But you know, during the times that I remember, it was really an important thing that you made it a thing in the meetings to be sure that all of your guys, you know, hung out together a little bit during the school year, and they ate together if it was possible, and mm-hmm. you know, get to know each other as much as they could, and always talk to the older guys about helping the young players out, you know, not to annihilate them early, just be nice to them, and you know, and try to teach them, help them along the way, and that worked for us.
That was good. Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. Coach, keep up that painting, and we'll get caught up next week as we're only about 3 weeks away from the season.
Holy moly. Yeah. Doesn't seem impossible, but it goes so fast. Well, we'll be looking forward to it, and I just hope up here I could get some of it on TV. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got to start searching around a little bit when it's not on a national game or something. So we'll see how it goes.
You should be okay. Coach, thanks for the time today. Always appreciate chatting with you.
Okay, Chris. Thank you.
There he
appreciate
is.
It.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie. And, you know, it is fight week, right? You have Pinnacle Bank Arena hosting a world championship with Bud Crawford. I had to get his take on fisticuffs because they happened. And he was pretty blatantly honest with you. It built the team. Could make you better. Let's get you hooked up with some barbecue. How's that sound? Two tickets. Is that what we got, Danny? A two-pack for Ribfest tickets, yours right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, caller 5, a two-pack of Ribfest tickets for you with Hail Varsity at ESPN. Caller 5 now, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We'll get into the offensive line, defensive line. Thoughts from Coach Riley, that's on the way. Caller 5 now for those Ribfest tickets.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, big thanks to Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie, Hail Varsity Radio, 15 minutes away. Owner, publisher of Hail Varsity, Aaron Babcock. with us. And some more thoughts here on the quarterback race. And well, there is no there is no race for one. You know, it's Tanner Lee, and Phil Savage will be with us tomorrow on the show. But how about that number two spot? Let me ask you this. Are you surprised at Jebbia's ascension? And your immediate reaction is, get the kid a sandwich, right? Can we hear it echoed? It's a great running joke. But what you've also hopefully heard is the me time he has given to this offense, this understanding, this studying, and he's brought some teammates with him, putting in the extra time, doing the film study. And, you know, Coach Riley was asked after practice, we talked about it Saturday morning, you know, is this red shirt going to be a reality? Do you still red shirt Tristan Jebbia? And has he shown you enough to make you move off of that if you're Coach Riley?
Yes. Yeah. I think that Tristan, by the time we get to the season, would function well in the game. I really do. Now, I don't think that's the best thing for him. I really don't. But we also know for a purpose, we keep that room small. But the other side of that is he's got to be ready. So we know that.
Have you seen enough to rethink the red shirt? Yes. Yes, we have. What is it about him? This is from Riley. Quarterback whisperer, quarterback guru, sends guys to the league. Why is what he's doing such a conversation shifter to this guy and his coordinator, by the way, who aren't swayed easily about this decision?
Vision, and really it's just he sees things and then makes a throw. And I'm still to the point where him being a freshman, I'm going, oh my gosh, that was a good play. You know, it's one of those things. I just think he's a player. You know, that I know that's just an old cliche, but I think he's a player. And been real, real impressed with his poise. His work ethic is off the charts. He is up there as much as the coaches. I mean, he is an amazing young man with his diligence.
Okay, you have outlined what you need for success to be a quarterback at Nebraska coming in. What if you're a ballyhooed recruit? It doesn't have to be quarterback. Pick a spot. What do you need? Well, you need freaking insane talent. But you need to not rest on that talent. Are you doing everything extra? It sounds like Jebby is. Are you able to rise to the stage of the moment? Or do you shrink in the spotlight? Think Costanza, shrinkage. Right? Jimmy's just like, who cares? Let's just go out there and chuck the pill around. Let's dump it off to the running back. Think of the spring game. You're like, wow, this game could be pretty good. And think about the ceiling now versus where you're starting floor-wise. The other part of this, too, is, and every great team has had intense, insane, talented competitions. You've been stacked with fantastic playmakers at the skill spots that fit your offense and your system. If you're a championship team, you've done it defensively too. Think of Nebraska defensive ends, like rush ends. Who was backing up... Who was backing up Wistrom and Tomich? Well, a guy named Mike Rucker, second-round pick. He's backing up Rucker. A guy named Kelsey, NFL pick. Who was backing up Kelsey? Well, a guy named Jay Moore. You know, I mean, just go down the list of guys that you see my point where you've got that caliber, Kyle Vandenbosch. You got that caliber. That's just defensive side. Offensively, though, with the quarterbacks here and with Jebbia, and just the prerequisite is there. He's showing you what you got to do to be really good at Nebraska. Come in, study it, show it, own it, and just keep working at it. That's what's incredible with that opportunity. The other side of this, too, is the fact that if you're Patrick O'Brien, you've got a cannon, you've got a lot of talent, you've got some skills. How are you going to react? Is this going to make you better? Are you going to get flustered? You're going to take your ball and go home? And from, you know, and we'll hear from Riley here. How's Patrick O'Brien reacted since Thursday? How did he react Saturday? Well, it sounds like the right way.
Patrick had a couple great drives today, made plays. I think we are fortunate at that position, you know, and here we sit without a guy that's taken one snap for Nebraska. I'm excited about those guys.
You should be, because it sounds like you got three options, a starter that could be the top prospect in the NFL per Savage, a guy in O'Brien that either needs to respond mightily, and it sounds like he did well with that scrimmage. You know, the folks that saw practice Saturday, you bump into a couple of them, and they'll look you in the eye and go, tell you what, man, that's as good as O'Brien has looked. So he's responded via on-field challenge and in-media discussion about that number two job. You're getting pushed. How do you respond to it? And if you lose out to a better guy, maybe Jebbia or insert freshman phenom is the next second coming of a Matt Leinart. That's the guy that comes to my mind who came in as a redshirt freshman and managed and then grew to be awesome. Very rare. But they've existed in a West Coast offense like this. So if you're Nebraska, you're in a good spot. If you're Patrick O'Brien, you've done the right thing to respond as a number two. And listen, why the hell are we spending so much time on the backup quarterback? Ask yourself this. Do you trust Nebraska to be free of the injury bug this year in a big game? That's why I'm asking. That's why we're talking backup. That's why we're talking third-team guy. It's one thing to have to slam together five offensive linemen, two of which may be injured. It's an entirely true possibility that someone is going to go gangster on your quarterback on third and eight, and let's see if his shoulder can separate or not. That is a fact and reality in the Big Ten. Look at Spate against Iowa for Michigan. Guy was pinata. How did Barrett end up finishing the Penn State game? 9-23 throwing the ball. Did he get jacked? Was it a team dog pile as he's trying to put a 2-minute drill together? Yeah. McSorley, his year didn't start out great. He was beaten within an inch of his life as Penn State started out 2-2. And Beathard, the guy couldn't move. We could maybe Olay some things to chuck the ball. But he was beat up. North Dakota State smoked him. They got sacked a ton of times. So you have tough kids at quarterback. But you need your number two or, dear God, number three ready. That's why we're spending some time on it. And it's very encouraging because, listen, the West has a couple of returning starters, Hornibrook and Thorson. Yeah, they might do something for you. Push comes to shove, you should beat them. The rest of the West, looking. The East, couple of ballers. Everyone else, you're unsure of. Nebraska could have two of the top five quarterbacks in the league on their roster. You may need to see both of them. The truth is, Tanner Lee has been injury prone. Is his offensive line going to be better in Lincoln than it was in Tulane? You'd think so. But it's just one hit away from Mike Riley and Langsdorf having to decide Who do we go with? Who are we most comfortable with? Where's the trust at? And do we sacrifice what could be a 9-10-11 win season? Or do we burn a shirt because we think Jebby is going to be the guy? He'll handle it better. He'll do better. We're having this conversation now in August that may be a reality in November. It's a fair question. What I'm telling you right now with Nebraska is they are in the best spot they have been in. Dare I go back to the Beringer, Frazier, and God love Terminator situation. That's a long, long time ago, but you had three quarterbacks that were quite capable. You had Newcomb and Crouch. Both were really good. You ended up settling on Crouch and almost won a national championship. Who did you have behind Jamal Lord? One of my favorites, Garth Glissman. But G-Unit was more of the pocket guy versus the option guy. Who did you have after Jamal Lord? Well, let us say, what, Kurt Dukes, Joe Daly? Those are some painful names. Good dudes. Tough offense. You had Zach Taylor. I mean, you see what I'm saying is you got to have a number two, and you got to have a number two ready. It sounds like Nebraska has some options there. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. I'll give you a chance at some Salt Dog tickets right now. Caller 5, a four-pack, VIP four-pack for Monday. Not today, a week from today, the Eclipse Day. You'll get to see the eclipse happen at Haymarket, a noon game. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, a four-pack for you for August 21st, the eclipse game at Haymarket. That'll be a blast. That'll be great to spend with some friends. A four-pack now for you. Caller 5, 800-825-5865, or 466-3776. Aaron Babcock of Hail Varsity. He joins us next.
And now.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time. Great to be with Coach McBride to start off hour two. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. We welcome in owner, publisher of HailVarsity.com and magazine. Great to catch up with him for another football season and volleyball season. Aaron Babcock is with us. Aaron, what's up, man? How are you?
Well, I'm good, except I never like to follow Coach McBride. That's tough billing for me.
We've spaced it out. We've got a half hour. I blabbered about backup quarterbacks and how many times in the Big Ten does somebody, your starter, get smoked in a game if you're a Big Ten football team. And it happens a lot. So who's number two and how can number two do is something we spent about 10 minutes on or so. And Coach was great. He was talking a little bit about defense, shockingly enough. And then he, since it is fight week here in Nebraska with the championship fight Saturday, I had to get his thoughts on when the offense and defense got ugly with each other, and that was kind of funny. So
awesome.
It was good. How about you, man? Another issue is coming out, a volleyball preview. Give us a few minutes on that, and then HailVarsity.com, just great coverage for Nebraska practices and just amazing coverage of the team. Just spend a few seconds, if you could, on that as well. But, man, you guys turning around the volleyball issue. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, our team is just really firing on all cylinders right now. I think if you're a Husker fan that hasn't checked out HailVarsity.com in a while, you'd probably be really surprised at kind of how we've grown that. We've gone from, you know, I was looking yesterday. I think in the past 6 to 8 days, we've published, you know, over 50 articles on the website. The team's just really doing a great job, both in terms of content, quality, and volume. And so there's just a ton of great stuff to find on there. The magazine, as you mentioned, went to press yesterday. That ships out tomorrow. Just a great effort by the team there. Some terrific photography of the Nebraska volleyball team. Obviously, football coverage in there. We're really excited at where things are going with the magazine right now. We recently lowered the price to $29.95 for an annual subscription. Our customers are loving it. They're signing up for a three-year subscription for $74.95. We're just really excited at everything that the magazine has to offer. You combine that with all the website content and a website subscription, you're pretty much taken care of when it comes to anything and everything you want regarding the Huskers.
Aaron Babcock is with us, owner publisher of HaleVarsity.com and magazine. At Aaron_Babcock can follow and check Aaron out. And great photography you see in the magazine and on the website. Aaron rocks that. With this volleyball team, what I was talking to Jacob a little earlier, as far as the theme, kind of reinvention, and before we get to football, Hale Varsity won't be second to anybody, really, will they, when it comes to volleyball coverage and insight?
No, you know, I think we're in a pretty unique position. If you're a volleyball fan, Hale Varsity should be your first stop. You know, Brandon obviously just got done writing the book with Coach Cook, which is available at bookstores now. They're doing a book signing here on the 28th out of Barnes & Noble in Lincoln, so pretty excited about that. So you look at the insight you get from Brandon all the time those two have spent together. Jacob covers it on a regular basis. And Lauren Cook, who obviously played for Nebraska, is John's daughter, is contributing to HaleVarsity.com. So very excited about how we're able to dig deeper on volleyball coverage than anybody else.
Let's talk football coverage. Some new names and faces, Aaron, tell folks about, and between practices and coverage and insight and depth chart, man, it's been a great kind of camp as we're just 3 weeks away from the season.
Yeah, football's been an interesting one. I don't know if I can recall a fall where you're heading in with just such a wide range of expectations, whether that's, you know, yeah, Husker fan that's predicting the 6-6 gloom and doom, or whether that's, you know, the guy that I ran into last week that, you know, was willing to bet the farm that Nebraska was going to win 10 games. Obviously, pretty big variation in those picks. But, you know, I think there's just so many uncertainties. That's what has made this camp so interesting to watch, you know, whether it's the new defensive coordinator, some of the new staff members, you know, a new quarterback, it feels like, for the first time in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a lot to really take in. It almost feels like it would with a new head coach. You know, you just don't know, you know, what these systems are going to look like. You know, first year in the 3-4 and first year really running a system on offense that I think Riley's been dying to try for a couple of years, or re-implement, I guess would be the right word.
No, and fit's so important with everything in life, but football and offensive philosophy specific. What do you think of Tanner Lee, man? There's not many that have question marks about him.
Yeah, you know, obviously the lens, both figuratively and literally, that I've viewed him through has been very limited. But the little bit we've seen of him in practice, you know, has been pretty impressive, whether it was the spring game, the practices this fall. He just has a poise and composure that I'm pretty attracted to, along with his accuracy throwing the ball. There's a leadership that you see out on the field. Those are some of those intangibles that I'm really anxious to see if that translates into results.
Okay, you have Brandon Vogel, you've mentioned Jacob Padilla, obviously yourself. Mike Babcock has been covering Nebraska for 40 years and just awesome. Added two new names and a thought or two, Derek Peterson, Greg Smith, part of the Hale Varsity team.
Yeah, we've really had a couple of great great additions to the team. You know, Greg obviously has been known by a lot of our listeners from being a regular voice on the radio, and he's taken over as our recruiting analyst, just doing a great job in terms of providing some great recruiting insight, looking at catching up with all those commits and offers. So really like what we're seeing out of Greg. And then Derek Peterson, new to the market, after covering Oklahoma football, great piece today, kind of comparing, you know, where Nebraska is compared to kind of looking at Oklahoma the past couple of years. Those two guys are names that if you're not following them on Twitter or not looking for their stuff, would really encourage you to check them out, because I think they're going to be names that are going to become just a regular occurrence on the Husker beat.
There we have it. That's Aaron Babcock, owner, publisher, HailVarsity.com and magazine. The new volleyball issue is out. 855-3-HUSKER. $29.95 is the subscription price. You guys can get that subscription locked and loaded. Also, a 30-day free trial offer when you sign up, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Do that. Just an awesome community to check out online. The message board's phenomenal. The insight, the inside info, the breaking news, it's there with HailVarsity.com and the recruiting coverage. Incredible. Aaron, thanks for sharing some thoughts as we get into another season together, and appreciate your time and all you're doing, man.
Thanks, Schmitty. Looking forward to another great year of football.
Awesome, awesome. There he is, owner, publisher of Hail Varsity. Tremendous, tremendous product. The voice of Husker Nation. There he is, Aaron Babcock. Good to get caught up with him. That's the rundown. That's your menu for all the Husker stuff you want. We'll say goodbye to a Monday shortly. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
God love you, Kramer. Tomorrow's show, we have Mitch Sherman. And from the Senior Bowl, SiriusXM satellite radio man also, Phil Savage. We'll talk to Phil about Tanner Lee, Mike Riley, what it was like working for Belichick. We'll have a sit-down with Phil Savage. Also, Wednesday, after they leave Nebraska, Jerry DiNardo. Coach DiNardo will be with us. I want to remind you about drinking and driving. If you plan to go out and drink tonight, well, be sure to make a plan to get home safe. If not, make plans anyway, because while your plans can change, one thing that won't, if you get caught drinking and driving, well, it's dangerous to you and others, and it could cost you up to $12,000 in fines and fees in jail time. Also, you'd be required to install that interlock device into your vehicle. So if you're making plans, make sure you find a sober ride home. And when you go out, remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. Watched a little bit of Sunday night football last night. And we got in for kind of the first stringers. You had the Rams. It wasn't the Rams. Who was it? You had Seattle and somebody. Okay. It was a Seattle game, so Junior and Mama had to go watch Russell and that defense. And I should know this. Who are they playing? They were re-airing the Rams beforehand. Who the hell did Seattle play? I'll look that up. Anywho, got a drive into there. There were some distraught looks when my kid learned that Walsh is kicking for Seattle. I mean, well, he's kind of been kicking for Seattle, but he just remembers Walsh missing that field goal against Seattle. So we're gearing up for the NFL, ready for it. Proud to say the 25th fantasy football draft and league I've been a part of is locked in. 25 years. Think about that. It got started early, junior high, forgive me. But that's where it's at. Some friends are back from training camp. I worry about Denver fans because they're pretty optimistic usually, but they're also right on when they look themselves in the eye and say it's going to be a rough year. I've heard that from two of my buddies that have gone to Donkey's camp. They're like, yeah, Vaughn could have 30 sacks. I don't like Simeon. I don't hate Simeon. Sure as hell don't want him as my quarterback, but I got Cutler. So, what, you know, I'll trade you. You want to take Cutler back? We won't even ask for a gallon of gummy bears. Instead of player to be named later, who knows? Again, tomorrow, Phil Savage with his Senior Bowl. NFL scout, former GM, Mitch Sherman with us tomorrow. Big thanks to Jacob Padilla of Hail Varsity and owner-publisher Aaron Babcock with us this hour. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, you don't want to miss Charlie. If you did, every Monday at 5:05, it is a Monday with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, a lot on defense and youth and fighting between offensive and defensive lines. Pretty good from Coach McBride. You can get the podcast, HailVarsity.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks.